Heavenly Father, how good it is to have the freedom and the confidence to come to you in prayer this morning. We've worshipped you in song already, and now we come to worship you with our prayers. As we come, we take a moment to focus our minds and our hearts, and we remember that you are Almighty God, Creator of all things and sustainer of our lives. You are holy and magnificent, and we come before you this morning giving thanks for the amazing privilege and freedom we have to approach you. It would not be possible without all that Jesus has done for us. And in many ways, Father, that's a mystery and it's hard to fully understand. Yet we know that Jesus has set us free and taken away every barrier between us and you. It's so wonderful and comforting that you love us so much, that you care about all the little details of our life, even the stuff that no one else seems to understand. This morning, we praise you and simply say thank you. And Father, we have many things on our minds and our hearts. A lot is happening in our life, our country, and around the world. But before we pray about these things, we realize it's important to do a little self-reflection. We know that it's your desire that we be people who are humble and realistic about our life. You have shown us how to live in freedom and wholeness, yet we confess that we don't always do it. During this week, Father, there have been times when we were slow to follow your ways, and we've neglected to love well those who are closest to us in our families and here at church. We have even cherished things which divide us from others and made it hard for others to live with us. You have provided us with such abundance, and yet we are imperfect in the way that we care for the environment or handle our money. Father, you see the honest and true state of our hearts. Have mercy on us and forgive us. Father, as we take a moment to confess now silently the sin and burdens on our hearts, we thank you for the assurance that as we confess and repent of these things, we are forgiven and set free from the burden of guilt. Thank you that there is no condemnation for followers of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for filling our hearts with joy and peace as we go through life, trusting and believing in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We praise you and thank you for life and health and safety and for all the beauty of creation which we see around us, especially in summer. Father, there are some of us here today who are struggling personally or in our family with ill health, financial worries, unemployment, issues connected to school or college and decisions that need to be made. We are thankful that you know each and every one of us and you are fully aware of these needs. Please give us wisdom and understanding in each situation. We know that it's your desire to heal, so we ask that you would heal and restore those in need of physical, emotional, or spiritual healing. And Father, we want also to pray for our leadership team here at MCC. Again, we ask that you would provide them all with great wisdom and insight as they direct your church. Thanks that Pastor Henry could attend Synod and also take a family vacation. Would you please continue to bless them with special family time and restore their energy and focus? We join with many others in praising you for all that was achieved at Synod in this time of significant transition for our denomination. With the installation of new Executive Director Stephen Timmermans, we ask you to bless him and the work and the years ahead for our denomination, so that all that is done will bring you glory and give many people the opportunity to find faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, we look at all the conflict and turmoil in the world. It's inescapable. And it might be easy to turn our heads away and think that a lot of it has nothing to do with us. But we are your people, and you call us to care for your world, and most importantly, to pray. So we pray this morning, Father, for the Middle East. Would you hold back the tide of evil and conflict and bring peace, justice, and understanding to all involved? We pray for the coming of your kingdom with urgency, to put an end to the horror we read and hear about. We remember and pray for strength and perseverance for the many Christians being persecuted for their faith, for the refugees who are displaced, the innocent caught up in conflict, and for integrity and wisdom within governments and organizations who are involved. So, Father, again, we thank you for the freedom and the confidence we have to come to you in prayer, to know that you love us completely and unconditionally. You love to hear our prayers and to answer us. You love to bless your church. Please bless Ruth as she opens up your word today to us and helps us to understand your amazing grace. Father, pour out the Holy Spirit again this morning. Refresh us. Thank you for his loving presence and the power at work within each believer. Transform us into the people that you created us to be. Please fill us with all joy and hope as we trust our lives to you and go through this coming week filled with the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
It's good to be with you today. Before we turn and read God's word, will you pray with me? God, we're here to hear from your word. From you. Send your Spirit to help us understand as we read and hear what you are calling us to you, to. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And if you need a Bible to follow along with, they are on the table in the back by the pillar. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await, through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Brothers and sisters in Christ, last week I learned about something that I probably should have known earlier in my life. Juneteenth celebrations. And in case you are like me and don't know what that is, let me tell you. Juneteenth is celebrated on June 19, and it's the oldest nationally celebrated commemoration of freedom from slavery in the United States. So President Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation in 1862, which officially freed all the slaves. But it was a time before the internet and phone lines, and news traveled slowly. And at the same time, many slave owners were fleeing from Mississippi and Louisiana to Texas, taking all of their slaves with them farther away from hearing the news. So really, it was only the slaves that were living near the Mason-Dixon line or that were protected by Union soldiers that actually were freed in 1862. More than 2 years later, after General Lee had surrendered, finally, the Union troops reached Texas. And on June 19, 1865, a General Granger entered Texas, and he issued another order that, in accordance with the Emancipation Proclamation, all the slaves were now free. So Juneteenth celebrates that order and the freedom that eventually came. And of course, there was still violence and fighting before all of the slaves were actually freed. It was a hard, slow fight for freedom, even after the slaves had the official legal right to be free. The early church also had a long, slow fight for freedom. The part of the Bible that we read this morning from the book of Galatians pictures people being caught in the yoke of slavery. Jesus came to set them free. But the Christians in the region of Galatia were not fully living into that freedom yet. In fact, some of them were going backwards. They seemed to be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter, was really concerned about this. He really loved these Christians in Galatia. He had traveled to Galatia, which is in kind of the middle of what's modern-day Turkey. And he told the people there about Jesus. He told them the good news that in Jesus, God himself had taken on flesh and lived on our earth. That he had lived a sinless life and died a cruel death so that humans could be made right with God. He was raised with the dead, conquering sin and death. And after Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came to equip the followers of Jesus in living in this world. The people in Galatia heard this good news, and they too wanted to follow Jesus. So Paul planted some churches there that they could live together as followers of Jesus. And then Paul moved on to a new area, and he still kept in touch with the Christians in Galatia through letters. But then eventually he started to get some reports that worried him. In fact, really they more than worried him. They angered him. And so Paul wrote them a letter, what we now have as the book of Galatians. And when you read a letter, it's kind of like you're hearing one half of a telephone conversation. We're hearing the half of the conversation, what Paul said to the Galatians. We don't hear what the Galatians said before or after to Paul. It's important to remember, Paul wrote this letter to a specific people in a specific time, and they had a specific problem. And it's pretty easy when you read Galatians to figure out that Paul is ticked off in this letter. In the beginning, Paul skips his customary Thanksgiving section. It seems he can't find anything to be thankful for in these Galatians. He skips right ahead to a rebuke. "I am astonished," he says, "that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all." Galatia was a predominantly Gentile area, full of people who were not Jews. And so it was Gentiles that had become followers of Jesus. And then sometime after Paul had moved in or moved away, a new group of teachers moved in. And these teachers were different than Paul. They were Jews like Paul that were at least claiming to be Christians, but different than Paul. They were teaching that in order to follow Jesus, you also had to follow all of the Jewish laws. So they taught that circumcision was mandatory and that the Gentiles had to follow all of the laws that God had given Moses in the Old Testament, the importance of being heirs of Abraham. In other words, these Gentiles had to be socially and culturally like Jews in order to be Christians. This was a big debate in the early church recorded. It's in the book of Acts and also in some of Paul's other letters. And in Galatians, Paul argues, no, you do not need to become Jewish to follow Jesus. And he has a variety of arguments, as you'll see this week if you're reading along in Seeking God's Face. Verse 1 of chapter 5 really summarizes the whole book up to that point. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ is the only way to freedom," Paul says. "Christ has set us free." The original Greek emphasizes this is already done. He then implores them, "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Do not submit yourself to the chains of slavery. And anything other than Christ can be the chains of slavery." And Paul goes on to outline the negative consequences of submitting to the yoke of slavery. "If you do this," he says, "Christ will be of no value to you. You will have stopped trusting in Christ and will instead be trusting in circumcision. And then you're obligated to obey the whole law, keeping the religious law. It's an all-or-nothing requirement. You can't pick and choose the parts you want to obey. And if you do this, you trust in your own efforts to keep the law, then you're not trusting in God's grace. Don't do it," Paul warns. "Don't trust in yourself or anything other than God's grace. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." We can be burdened, too, by the yoke of slavery. Maybe your first response is, no one owns me, I'm free. And I think sometimes it can be hard to see what's holding us. And maybe the Galatians were having a bit of that problem, too, and that's why Paul spent a whole letter chastising them for this tendency. But Pastor Tim Keller helped me to think about what might this slavery look like in our context. Because it probably doesn't look like circumcision and keeping kosher. Keller says that Christ plus anything else is a whole different gospel. So what are the plus anything else's that bind us? It probably varies a bit for each of us. But as I was reflecting on this, I think many of us who grew up in American culture believe in Christ plus ourselves. Being free to make our own decisions and be our own person, it's a cornerstone of American culture. And so we trust in Christ plus our own freedom, our ability to take care of ourselves and make our decisions for ourselves. And really, I think it took me leaving the United States and living in China to realize how deeply embedded in me this is. I was teaching at the time, and I would go to erase the board after class, so to leave it neat for the next teacher. And almost every time, my students would come and stop me and say, no, we will erase the board. And there were days that I just wanted to stop my feet and say, no, I can do it myself. Just let me erase the board. And this is a pretty small example, but I think the strength of my reaction showed how deep that desire to be independent is in me and how deeply embedded in our culture it is. So many Americans don't want the government to be involved in their health care because we want to do it ourselves. We don't want our parents to tell us when we can start dating because we want to do it ourselves. We don't want our kids to tell us when we should stop driving because we want to do it ourselves. We don't want our church to tell us how we should live or not live our lives because we want to do it ourselves. We don't want to ask for help when we're in a financial crisis because we want to do it ourselves. Christ plus, I can do it myself. This pressure to be independent becomes slavery because it becomes really hard to accept grace and to live well in community if it's all about, I can do it myself. Christ becomes of no value to us because really, deep down, we trust in ourselves more than Him. And we are burdened again by the yoke of slavery. But we are set free in Christ. In verse 5, Paul continues with a positive description of what freedom really looks like. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly await to receive the faith, receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. We wait in the Spirit by faith. We don't earn salvation by what we do, and we can't lose it by what we do or don't do either. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Being united with Christ is the most important thing. Whether we're independent or dependent, whether we're making $1 million a year or scraping by on cash assistance, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith in Christ is a faith that works. We're free in Christ, but it's not the kind of freedom where everyone just does whatever they want, because that quickly becomes anarchy. The first part of this passage, and really the first part of the book of Galatians, is about freedom from the slavery of adding things on to Christ. And from verse 6 to the end of the book, the focus is on the freedom to live in Christ. Living with that freedom looks like faith expressing itself through love. In the next chapters, Paul elaborates on what it means for faith to express itself in love. He talks about the freedom not to gratify the desires of the flesh, to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Believers have freedom to restore brothers and sisters caught in a sin, to carry each other's burdens, and to do good to all people. Christ set the Galatians free for freedom so that they could love their neighbor as themselves. They didn't need to do anything else to be a part of God's family. They were free from having to earn salvation by their actions. And they were free to love their fellow Christians and their community around them. And God has set us free to express our faith in love too. And the great thing about that freedom, and that freedom to love, is that it can be really powerful and attract people in to Jesus. I know a woman, we'll call her Layla this morning. Layla, her husband, and 2 children came to Grand Rapids as refugees from Iraq. And she and her husband have had a number of serious medical challenges since they arrived in Grand Rapids, in addition to the challenges of learning English and figuring out how to live in the United States. And Layla became friends with several members of Church of the Servant, where I used to be a pastor, by attending English as a Second Language classes at church. And these members have shown her unconditional love. They have expressed their faith in love and care in very tangible ways. They've invited Layla to their home for meals. They've visited Layla for meals in her home. They helped Layla and her husband to navigate the medical system here. They babysat her kids. They gave up some of their own independence and I can do it myselfness to love this family. They talked about their faith when it was appropriate, and they loved her no matter what her response. And although Layla is still Muslim now, she has commented to one of her COS friends that she found the Christian community to be much more loving and caring for their family than they found the Muslim community in Grand Rapids. As Layla knew she was loved and safe, she felt safe enough even to send her kids to VBS and to attend a Bible study herself. Faith expressing itself through love. God gives us freedom from faith plus something else. And that freedom gives us freedom to love others. We don't need to judge each other on whether or not we have achieved plus something else. We are all free in Christ. So we can be a part of the community, whether we think we're completely independent from others or we know that we are totally dependent on others. And we get to take that freedom and share it with others through love. So this is my prayer for you and for me today, that you will not be burdened again by the chains of slavery that say you need Christ plus something else. That you will grow in your freedom from those chains, and that you will find freedom to express your faith in love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Will you please pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful that it is for freedom that you have set us free. Help us to live in freedom, to see what the other things are that we try to add to your grace. Give us courage to say no to them, and give us courage to express our faith in love for the community around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.